it's strange that other people, other guys would feel differently, but I guess it checks out, like, with just, like, men in general sometimes being the worst.
That's going to be the quote of the episode. That checks out with men in general sometimes being the worst. Drake Jackson. Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica. Erica, it is a long-awaited day today.
I know. I'm very excited because I get to meet a special someone in your life.
Yes. I'm so pumped. We'll, you know, obviously do our updates and whatnot. But we have Drake, my brother, not the rapper, coming on the pod today.
Better than the rapper, let's say.
So much better than the rapper.
Better than the rapper. I love a family guest, honestly. I'm so curious to see how you guys are similar and how you are different.
That's an interesting question to ask him.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm just going to naturally feel out the vibe and be like, oh, God, he said that just like Allie. And then I'm going to be like, how are you and Allie related? How are you related at all?
In some ways, we are very similar. And in other ways, we are extremely different people. So we're like an interesting combo of our parents where, yeah, like, we have some things that are very much in common. But then there's some things that, like, he'll say or do something. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's my dad. And I would never say that or do that. And then, like, vice versa. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm home for the holidays, home for Christmas. I need to do some last minute Christmas shopping. I already told you this because I am very upset about it, but I got my mom a bunch of Sunset Lake CBD stuff as stocking stuffers and also for my brother. And I left all of them at my apartment in New York.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. But a great gift idea.
It is a great gift idea. I got my mom, hopefully she can't hear me right now, whatever. She's going to find out in 2 days. I got my mom the sleep gummies and the pet CBD because I thought she's got 3 cats and, you know, sometimes they're anxious, especially one of them. So I got her those 2 things. And then for my brother, I got 2 of the different gummies, one of the ones that has more like THC in it because he's kind of into that world. So they will be getting printed out pictures of Sunset Lake CBD.
Oh, I mean, I'm very jealous you got them the THC ones because those are the ones I'm very, very curious to try that I know they've been working on for a long time. But yeah, I actually got my sister some of their tincture drops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she has very high anxiety and she's pretty high strung. And I'm not going to lie, I've been tempted to slip her those drops myself. And I was like,
you need to calm down.
Yeah, I was like, let me buy them for her. She could do it, especially the move of putting them in your coffee in the morning. I think is clutch.
So good.
But I really love their flavored ones. They have like a citrus one that I
like. The mint. The mint is my favorite.
Yeah. But yeah, I got those for her to try. So if anyone listening here has not tried Sunset Lake CBD yet, I don't know what you guys are doing. Okay. Like, I don't know how you're missing out on, one, a great gift, but two, a great way to live. So check out sunsetlakecbd.com. Use our promo code FMH20 for 20% off. And you can use it multiple times every time you go.
Please do.
Spread the love of CBD, okay?
Spread that love. So I am excited for you to meet Drake. I'm excited for the listeners to meet Drake. You know, long awaited, people have been asking for this episode.
Yeah, I know. And I love this series. I've listened to a couple past ones that you did with Rourke. And I think it's a really fun series. I think we all have questions, myself included, that I often go, give me the male opinion on this. So I'm looking forward to hearing from the mastermind of Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any updates this week before we get to our mail?
Not too many. The Captain Kirk update is a non-update where I've confirmed with my matchmaker that he's not going to count. Not that I really needed to confirm that because we never went out.
Yeah.
And it was not my fault. So obviously he wasn't going to count, but it was nice to hear her say that. Mm-hmm. So she's back searching for what will be match number 6. I do have an update from my live yesterday. So I was really bummed. I know you don't watch Gilmore Girls, but those who do watch Gilmore Girls and I were very excited for Kirk to make its way into the nicknames.
Right.
And bummed that I had gave that nickname to somebody that never materialized.
Unfortunately.
And I don't want that to happen again. So we've brainstormed on my TikTok live yesterday. We brainstormed that I am going to refer to general men as Kirks.
Oh, like before you go out with them? So yeah. Then it's like, let's go out with them one time and then determine if they get a nickname for the show.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're a Kirk. So like the guy, the matchmaker date that I haven't gone out with yet, he's like new Kirk. He's a new Kirk.
Interesting. Okay. I like that because, yeah, I like that. I think it is, sometimes I feel the pressure to come up with a nickname and I'm like, all right, well, I already know this is dead.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling this story after I know that I'm never going to see this person again. So
yeah,
he was a Kirk.
Right. And that's why, like, a lot of times I'll give the most basic nickname because I'm like, who knows? Who knows?
Right. Yeah. We will never need to say this thing again. So that is a way that the nickname Kirk can live on and not be squandered on one individual.
And you know what might be something fun we could do is, especially if we gather some information first, right? You go on that date, we might be able to throw it to the Patreon to have them vote on a nickname.
Love it.
Or suggest a nickname. Because sometimes I'm like, I can't think of one, and the outside world can pinpoint something better than I can. So
yeah. So that's my update on that. So I do have another matchmaker date that will happen in the new year with new Kirk. And a couple other Kirks going on. I have one Bumble guy who I haven't talked to since we had this conversation, but basically we said we're both going away for Christmas and New Year's. And he told me he's going to follow up when he gets back after New Year's.
Oh, okay.
That's a Bumble guy. And then another Bumble guy that I've been messaging with while home, who just asked me today if I would be comfortable moving to text message instead of talking on Bumble. And right before we hit record, I messaged him back and I said, I'll make you a deal. We can switch to text message if we make a date for the new year.
Yeah, I like that. Be like, let's get something on the books because we don't want to land in texting land forever.
No, we do not. We are not trying to pen pal here. So I just sent that like a couple minutes ago, so I haven't heard back. But hopefully I will then have three dates lined up in the new year.
All right, there we go. All right, getting on a roll.
I should also mention, I forgot to say this up top, there is some construction going on in my mom's house, dear listeners. So if you do hear like weird footsteps or noises, apologies in advance for sound quality.
Okay. I don't hear anything so far, so I think we're good.
Nothing's happened yet, but right before we were recording, it was pretty loud. So
yeah,
just a heads up.
Yeah. For me, same thing with the guy I went out with last week. Still haven't heard anything. So I think it's fully dead in the water.
That Kirk is dead.
Yeah, he's a Kirk.
He's officially dead Kirk
now. He's moved to Kirk status. but like I said, it was one of those, hey, if I don't hear from them, I'm fine. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I actually have like a health update for everybody.
Yeah.
So people that maybe listen to my pod and now listen to this are somewhat familiar, but I think your fans aren't altogether. So basically I've been having like a period problem really since like 2020. And first it was, I was on the pill consistently for years. I started having like a lot of spotting in between. I also often was getting like BV and I only had one partner. So I was like, okay. And then upon breaking up with Eggs Benedict, I was like, oh, let me just get off everything fully, kind of give me a reset. I thought maybe that was the problem with the spotting. And I am someone that my whole life, that's the reason I got on the pill, I've had these like awful long periods, crazy cramps, crazy heavy, the whole nine yards. And also for many days. So upon being off the pill for a while, I still was like, all right, I'm still kind of spotting a lot in between. I'm not sure.
So frustrating.
Yeah. And also after Eggs Benedict, anyone I had sex with, I would always have like a little bit of blood, and I never had that problem before. And twice, Allie, someone I was like seeing, twice I like got blood on his like white blanket comforter thing. And it's the most just like, I'm very comfortable with my body and I'm comfortable with blood. Like it doesn't freak me out. I'm not like, ooh, gross, or, you know, women don't poop or whatever. I'm not one of those people. But like in those moments, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Because they assume like you had your period
and like didn't say anything, like didn't say like, oh, we should like put something down so that I don't ruin your, because then you, I mean, we've all, the women in the group at least, so most of us have all gotten blood on sheets, they're ruined, it's not coming out.
it's very hard to get it out. I've like the best I've ever been able to do, and I have white sheets, so bleaching, hydroxy, and
hydrochloric acid.
Yes, I think. What's the thing you put on like cuts and wounds? Comes in that big brown bottle.
No,
right?
Not hydrochloric acid. Hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide.
That's it. Okay.
Do not put hydrochloric acid on your wounds.
Yeah, which I'm hilarious of. My dad's a dentist, so sometimes. Obviously sometimes there's blood and it gets on like clothes or the scrubs in the office, and I literally texted my mom just being like, what's the best way to get out blood? Like,
I mean, been there. That's the part that sucks more. It's like less about like, oh, embarrassing, it's blood, and it's more like I just ruined this person's bed sheets,
right? Which this guy, to his credit, first time was immediately like, don't worry about it, he's like, I'll bring it to the clean, like, you're good, like, was so like, don't even flinch, don't worry about it. And because in that moment, I remember being like, my period had just ended like 4 or 5 days ago. So I assumed it was some period leftovers or whatever. Yeah. Right. But then the next time I hooked up with him, I was like, I have not had my period in a couple weeks. And it happened again. And the second time I really felt terrible, where it was like, okay, well, this clearly seems like I'm not letting you know, or like,
that, like,
some
this is going to happen every time, and that we should like take preparation so that we don't.
Something stuff. You know, so you just whatever, you feel bad. It's like, and that's what's hard too, is I wasn't like consistently having a partner through all these times.
Yeah,
so
like, that does make it a lot harder,
right? So the even the blood from sex thing was like, was that just a weird like 1-2 time thing? Yeah. Is that
you don't have a large enough sample size,
right? So I've just been like kind of going through the ringer with doctors the past couple years. So if anyone else has gone through this problem, would love you want to DM me anything that's helped. So upon getting off the pill, I was like, let me try an IUD. I was like, maybe an IUD would be better than the pill and the spotting problem. I even like got an MRI before getting my IUD to make sure like my uterus was, I don't know, correct for it. Like one doctor says that, I do that. I get the IUD. Upon having my IUD, Allie, I literally was like all the time spotting.
Oh my God.
Right. But when you first get it, they go, oh, well, this is normal. Like up to 6 months, you're probably going to have some spotting here. And
yeah,
there.
I had heard that as well. That didn't happen to me with my IUD, but my gynecologist told me it might.
Yeah. So I went back twice about it. And I remember the one time they're like, oh, it's about to be 6 months. Give it some more time. I came back. It was like 9 months. I was like, this is not right. Yeah. And they were like, well, you know, and I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I like finally had to be like, I'm wearing tampons all the time.
Fuck,
like, it's not
man.
Just some light thing of like, oh, a couple drops in my underwear, or like, oh, when I go to the bathroom I see some. I'm like, no, like I need to wear something, and like I'm gonna keep getting like bacterial stuff, because like that's not how we should be operating.
You're something not supposed to have that in all the time. Yeah,
exactly. So I get the IUD out, I'm back on nothing for a few months, and I still just kind of keep having this like spotting problem and like super long period. So God, upon, I don't know, gyno number 5 I've seen, they finally at least suggest something different. And I had this procedure done this week called, I had to look this up because I keep saying hysterectomy and that's not correct. That is not correct. It's not what I had.
Not the
I
same.
Still have my parts. It's a hysteroscopy. Oh. So basically they go in with like a little camera thing to take a good look. And they thought maybe I have polyps, which, oh, I forgot to say, I've had like 4 different ultrasounds already. I've had that a million fucking times. Yeah. So it was like, okay, here's at least a new thing to try. So I did that. And then upon having my annual, I had like a slight form of HPV. So they were like, we also would recommend doing a colposcopy, which is a better look at your cervix.
Yeah,
and
I've done that. I've had that.
Right. Make sure they don't see anything abnormal, or take a, you know, biopsy if they need it. So I have this procedure done. I'm like, good. Okay, let's get it done. Get both of them done the same day. So I got to be put out, which was really nice. And upon waking up from the doctor, she basically was like, there wasn't anything I saw that I think is contributing to this problem. And the only thing she pointed out to me is she said, you have somewhat of a heart-shaped uterus, but I can't see it well enough that I'll have to look at, you know, an MRI. Basically, she was like, if it's really, really extreme, it might be very hard for you to conceive kids. And if it's slight, there's like a possible, like they almost like shave it and reshape it to just make it,
oh,
so you're more easily able to conceive, if it makes it more of a quote pear shaped or round shape, as she said. But if anything, like literally upon hearing this, I just honestly just felt really frustrated of like, I was oddly hoping there would be something when you went in to take a look.
And yeah, that makes total sense. So that it could be like an answer.
Exactly. And like, because I'm very frustrated of like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I went to see a hormone doctor to try to fix this. They're very anti get on the pill. They're like,
yeah,
you got to fix everything from the ground up. Don't be throwing in any hormones. But basically all she said was like, you have a thin lining. Your cervix is probably just upon being touched during sex, as apparently all of our cervix are being touched.
Yes.
Which I did not know out the gate. But she was like, that's why you're having a little blood during sex. But basically, like, that's all I got was like, you probably just kind of have this thin lining and that's why you're having this. And that's something can kind of like ebb and flow just, I don't know, through the years. She's like, it might be thin right now. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, yada, yada, which actually there was a point when I was on the IUD, I had one doctor put me on the pill and the IUD at the same time.
I have a friend who's doing that like currently.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this will restart the cycle or something again with the lining. But they said because I had a thick lining, and turns out not at all the problem.
Opposite.
Yeah, and that was a brutal 2 months of I've never really experienced like huge side effects from birth control, like emotionally. And those 2 months, I was so sad. And I was like, oh, this ain't it. Like, it was like, this ain't it. Both of them ain't it. One or the other. I can't do both. But yeah, basically it's like, the bright side is it's like, they took a biopsy as of right now. Nothing seemed off. They were like, we're really not worried in terms of like your health with like anything cancerous, which is great news.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm still like, I don't know what to do on next steps. And also part of you is like, when you've seen so many different doctors or something, you're just like, where do I go from here?
Because so
the new one you go to, you got to forward everything. Yeah. So it's something that it's like overall it has been better. I haven't had the constant problem, but the new doctor I saw that did this procedure, she just goes, how long are your periods? And I'm like, if we count the spotting before and the spotting after, she goes, yeah, I go like 10, 12 days. And she at least like gave me affirmation of, she was like, that's not okay.
That's
not
too long. Yeah.
Normal. That is way too long. And I was like, yeah, like it's half the month. It feels like I have to, you know, be wearing a tampon or something. So
that's brutal.
Oh, the amount of money I've invested in like random period underwear is insane. Like,
I've heard good things about that stuff. I don't get one because of my IUD. And luckily, knock on wood, I've had a very smooth experience with my IUDs besides getting them inserted and removed, which remain some of the worst days of my life.
Right.
But that sucks, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like it sucks and it's good. Like, hilarious of, I was talking to my dad about it because he was like, how'd your procedure go? And I was like, how much detail do you want? How much do you want to know? But he was the one that pointed that out. He just immediately was like, but health-wise, he's like, you're okay.
Yeah.
He's like, there's nothing cancerous. There's no like problems I saw. And I was like, no, but the period is still a problem.
Really a problem, though.
You know, especially when you talk to a man, you're like, if you had to bleed for 2 days, you would be losing your shit.
Absolutely.
So trying to stay positive, trying to stay okay, but I kind of mainly wanted to put it out there. I did have a few people DM me from the Patreon. They heard I was getting this done, which thank you very much. But also, hey, if anybody's tried anything that helps with this, I'd be happy to hear it, because I've kind of hit like the end of that rope of like even wanting to research it, where I'm just like, well, this might just be my life now.
I'm sorry.
I'm Aunt Flo. I am officially Aunt Flo for the world. I don't know. I just don't know what to do about it. And it's oddly like, I'm thankful I'm not dating someone right now that I don't have to be dealing with it with, you know, kind of like the sexual mess. But at the same time, you're like, oh, it just kills my libido a lot of the time.
Yeah. Cause you're, like, well, then you're like in your head being like a new partner, especially if you're like going to be dating casually, then you have to like deal with that. It's like an extra thing on top of everything else.
Right. Or it's like, I would like people to go down on me, and it feels like that goes out the window when you go, we got to put a towel down. They go, oh, you're on your period. And it's like a weird thing to explain, like, no, I'm not. So I would still like you to go down on me, but if we have sex, yes, there will be some blood. Like, I haven't had to navigate that conversation, that I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, just, I don't know how to wrap up this story, but that's what's going on with
me. Yeah, that's the update. Well, thank you for sharing. Hopefully, I mean, I'm sure I know a lot of people like go through kind of like frustrating stuff with, you know, gynecological health and not understanding what's going on. And it can be so frustrating and scary.
Yeah, so much. So anyway, hoping 2023 we can get that fixed somehow, figure something out.
Seriously.
But if anyone else is going through something similar, even just health shit in general, just like, I've kind of been fortunate of anytime I've had a problem, I've been able to figure it out quickly and get it corrected quickly. And this is like the first time in my life I've really had something and just pure frustration of like, what is it? Like, I just want the answer.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that note,
we have
Ask a Man today.
We have Ask a Man, where my younger brother Drake is coming on the pod. He is 30 years old, about to be 31. We're 5 years apart, 5 years younger than me. I'm super excited to talk to him. He believes that he is in the room and ready. So, I guess we'll, you know, get to know him a little bit more over there. But anything else I should mention up top before we transition over? He's a man. He's a 30-something man.
I think people want to know, is he single?
Oh, we'll ask him that directly.
Okay.
We will ask him that directly. I already told it. I gave him a little bit of a precursor of the questions, and that's approximately 30% of the questions.
Yeah. I mean, makes sense.
Often accompanied with the eyes emoji.
Hey, look, I appreciate it. Shoot your shot.
I do too. Shoot your shot. He has actually had, because I've had him, he hasn't been on the podcast, but I've had him like in my stories. He's done a couple AMAs with me in my stories and stuff. And I've like tagged him when we're in pictures together, and he has had some people slide into his DMs.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Nothing maybe has I ever gotten anywhere.
Maybe I got to save him in my folder, Al.
So on that note, without further ado, let's talk to Drake.
Let's do it.
So I've talked a little bit on the pod about how I've been trying to extend my damp January into future months. And I have really been enjoying Recess mocktails as a way to have what feels like a fancy drink at home, but without the alcohol.
Yeah, and also it's nice to have something in your fridge that just has a little bit of flavor.
Totally.
And they're delicious. They're made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and again, 0% alcohol. So just a nice little flavorful drink that is a little play on our favorites here. They got a bunch of great flavors.
My personal favorite is the Recess Watermelon Mojito. I actually like to garnish it like it's a actual cocktail. Like I put it in a coupe glass, feeling all fancy, garnish it with a little sprig of mint. It is delicious.
And my favorite is the Recess Ginger Lime Mule. I'm a ginger gal. And what I love also, not too sweet. Perfect amount of just a little sweet treat.
They're absolutely delicious. And you can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly, like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night. All right. That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I just got back from Costa Rica and I decided to just fully lean into my curls while I was there and was so happy that I had all of my Pros hair care customized specifically for my hair to take with me.
Oh, that's the best. You need it, especially if you're going to be in those super humid places.
Exactly. And I recently actually started trying their curl cream, which I hadn't used before. I've used their shampoo, their conditioner, their dry shampoo. The curl cream is legit.
Yeah, I like all their stuff. Their dry shampoo is one of my favorites. And I was a little intimidated when I first used it because it was like a powder in my hands. Much better than a lot of the like spray can ones I've tried elsewhere. So it's my go-to for my dry shampoo for sure.
Yeah, it was just really great to not have to worry about my hair. Like, it sounds so silly, but it's a good relief.
No, but especially anyone who has travel coming up, we've all been there. You try to bring a hair dryer and it doesn't work. And it's like, when you're in the heat, trying to dry your hair with heat is a nightmare. Everybody knows that. So it could be worth it to go to Pros and check out what do they have for your natural hairstyle to help your hair dry naturally even better.
Yeah, and Pros is so confident that you're going to bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order, 50, at pros.com/FMH.
So you get your free consultation and then 50% off at pros.com/FMH. That's PROSE.com/FMH.
And we are back with Drake. Hi, Drake. Welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast.
Hello. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
A long requested guest of the show.
Hopefully I don't disappoint.
I highly doubt that. This is seriously like I think the most requested guest is you.
That makes me very proud.
You've made it, is really what we're saying.
Yeah, adjacently famous, as I said.
Yeah, Drake told me yesterday at breakfast that it's always been his goal to be adjacently famous, so we're just really making that happen for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is ideal. It is ideal.
No works, no perks. It's really what I'm looking for.
So, I mean, I have an idea for the first question to throw to Drake. Of
great.
Are you single, Drake? What is your current relationship status?
I am single, yes.
That was approximately 30% of the questions that I received on my story with some variation of is Drake single, usually included the like eyes emoji. A couple people included a detective emoji.
Well, it's a very simple answer. So
you're like, okay, we're done.
Yes.
That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, this is easy. Yeah.
Well, the other, so people are paying attention and they remember the Ask Me Anything that you were on when we were on vacation,
mm-hmm.
where somebody asked you if you were emotionally available.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about a little over a year ago and you said no. And so two listeners wanted to know, are you still emotionally unavailable while being single?
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday too, right? Probably more so available than before. I think, like, you know, saying emotionally unavailable is like a simplistic generalization, right? I think I'll always be emotionally guarded to some extent, but it depends on the person, right? I mean, that's the whole thing about relationships. Like, you don't really know if you're going to be comfortable or open to them until you're actually in them, right? Or you find the right person. So yeah, I am more emotionally available, just maybe, you know, emotionally complicated at times.
I think that's a great answer. I think that makes sense because it sounded to me when we were talking last summer when you said that,
mm-hmm.
that it was like you probably could have been if you wanted to be, but you're like, this is not a good time for me to be in a relationship with someone. And like, therefore I know that I'm emotionally unavailable.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we've had like, you know, complicated, whatever, past decade. I don't know. It's been a long ass time. Right. And I found that in, you know, previous relationships when like things weren't going well with our family and dad and all that good stuff, like just wasn't an ideal time to be in a relationship. Like, you know, you're already emotionally turbulent. That's not the right word. Yeah. That might be
turbulent.
The
right word. Yeah it's great word.
Seizure again. But like when you throw in a relationship and like someone else into that equation, then all of a sudden it becomes like even more complicated. And I didn't really like that. I didn't like to have to, like, you know, deal with my own stuff while also dealing with someone else's stuff. I didn't think it was fair to me or them. So it's just easier to, like, you know, totally close off until I get to a, you know, a stable point in my life where I'm like, all right, you know, I can handle that. So I'd say, yeah, I am there now, but obviously there's still complications that probably always will be. I mean, that's probably the same case for most people.
Wait, so I'm just curious to clarify. When you originally said that, mm-hmm. was it just because of like life circumstances that you felt like things were just too chaotic and crazy? Or I would assume someone saying that it means like they were kind of fresh out of something.
No, not fresh out of something, just life stuff. I mean, with, you know, our dad and, you know, other stuff, right? When our dad first got diagnosed with cancer, I was in a pretty long-term relationship, which, ended quickly thereafter. And also at other times when things started kind of hit the fan, it was kind of the same case. So, rather than, continue to repeat that, in my opinion, mistakes of, dealing with all that type of stuff, while also just trying to figure out my own life. It was just easier just to be like, hey, I'm going to focus on myself for a while.
I forgot actually how young you were when dad got diagnosed. Cause when you said you were recently out of a long-term relationship, I'm like, but that was in college. You were in college.
I was in college. Yeah. Somewhere between sophomore and junior year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I know you're 5 years younger than me, but that just kind of sunk in just now, like how young you were when that happened, that you were still in that relationship at the time.
Such a fun time.
Yeah, that was not a great time for anyone involved.
No.
Not your relationship. That's not what I meant. one could argue that could have been said about that too, but that's not what I meant.
Not what I was implying. I have a question I feel like kind of relates to this that someone submitted. Is bad relationship timing really a thing, or is it just an excuse to not be tied down?
I mean, I think it could be both, right? I mean, it's dependent on the person. Obviously, bad timing is, I think, 100% accurate in many, many cases, right? I mean, we're always evolving and changing and open to different things. And so, yeah, it could be just a, excuse to not be tied down or get into a relationship. It also can be very valid. I think it obviously depends on the relationship and the person and, whether they're just bullshitting or, it's valid. But yeah, I mean, that's happened to me in my life. I think that's probably a valid thing for a lot of people.
And I think a lot of times what we have talked about is that I think you're right. It can be both and it can be valid in both ways, but it doesn't, if you're on the receiving end of that, it almost doesn't matter if the person is bullshitting you that they're not ready for a relationship. Like the end result is that they're not going to be in a relationship with you, regardless of if they're bullshitting you or not.
Or, I mean, if they have a good connection, it can eventually evolve into a relationship. I mean, just because a door closes at some point doesn't mean it can't reopen later, right? So once again, if they're like, hey, I'm not ready for a relationship, but, I like you in my life. I'd like to continue whatever this is, or we can, take a step back and revisit it. I mean, that can also happen. It happens, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny. I was going to say it's the same thing as the, I don't want to be in a relationship right now. I think timing, it's like, it could be an excuse. It could not. The end result is, at this time, I will not be dating you.
Right. So,
whether I'm like, I could make it work or I truly just can't, the answer still is just, hey, not right now.
Mm-hmm. So the listeners know that you were living at home with our mom for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they were curious to know, how was that? And you're not anymore. You're in your own home, which we should also mention that we were going to record this in person, and then we realized that we really did not have the tech set up to do that. So you were in your pretty new place with your roommate.
Yep.
And the listeners are curious, like, what was it like dating or not while living with family, and kind of, how has that changed for you, and what are you excited about?
Yeah, I didn't really date much while I was living at mom's house. Maybe a surprise to a lot of folks, but, living with your mom at the age of 30 is not something you really lead with. it's not like someone's like, oh, fantastic news, I'm so happy to hear that.
I would also say, I think that's something that men get judged for way more harshly than women do.
Yeah, that's very true. And, the reason I was there was I wasn't, forced to live there. I had a job. Originally was going to move in with one of my friends. We were like, hey, we can't find a spot. We'll stay at our, parents' place for a little while. And then, he ended up moving away. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, shit. I guess I'll just be at my mom's house. But I did go on some dates. It's not like I stopped completely, but it's just like kind of a weird situation. Even if, let's say in theory, the date goes well and what's the next step, right? I'm not going to have her over at my house when my mom is there. It's like, hey, we've been on 3 dates. You want to come to my place? Also, you'll meet my mom, which will be great. She's lovely.
She is lovely.
She's lovely. So yeah, no, that was not ideal for the dating life. I'm very happy I had the opportunity to live with her, you know, starting what summer of sophomore year of college, I, you know, always stayed up in college. You know, I moved to Pittsburgh, you know, I never thought I'd have the opportunity to live, you know, at home again. So it was definitely a blessing, but in regards to dating, not ideal.
Makes total sense. You guys lived really well together, and the three of us did too, because I was home for like 3 months mm-hmm. for a while when you were living there, and the three of us lived together really well. But yeah, very different lifestyle.
Yeah, no, she's a great roommate, obviously a great mom. You know, we all love her dearly, right? But yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you want to meet my roommate? Also my mom. she's making steak tonight. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
This episode is a little bit different because they do have a lot of like, oh, ask a man type questions, but they also have a lot of like ask Drake type questions because they've heard so much about you and they like, you know, have seen a little bit of you in my stories and stuff like that. So it's a little bit different. It's fun.
It makes sense. I'm very adjacently famous. So.
okay. I have an interesting one here. Does a man like when a woman expresses her feelings for him? Or would he see that as clingy?
Also, I think dependent on the woman and the guy, right? And in what way? You know, it can go both ways too, right? If a guy like, you know, overshares and it's not the correct time to do so, everyone's kind of like, okay, what's going on here, right? Like this isn't stable, normal human behavior. I think that if a guy likes a woman and like they're having a good relationship, then like honesty is always a good thing. Like, you know, sharing is typically a good hallmark in any relationship or friendship or really, you know, anything out there, right? The issue is not that. The issue is if, you know, the feelings aren't mutual, right? Or if it's overbearing and consistent, like then obviously, you know, be like, okay, what's going on here? But, you know, if there is, you know, common emotions and shared emotions and it's, you know, a good functional relationship, that I feel like it's, you know, generally a good thing.
Okay, I was gonna say, when you said depending on the guy and depending on the girl, I was like, do you literally mean just depending on if the guy likes her?
That's how I
interpreted it, was like, if he likes you, he won't think it's clingy. If he doesn't like you, he'll be like, whoa, okay.
Also, like, you know, some men and some women are more open to sharing like their emotions in a relationships. You know, some people are uncomfortable with that. Some people are like, what's happening here? I don't want to know this or need to know this. So yeah, all of those things in my opinion are true, right? Yeah, it's obviously dependent on if that person actually likes the other person, but also just, you know, how they deal with other people.
I feel like it's like, if you express your feelings and they're like, whoa, 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 then it's probably not the right situation for you, regardless of whether, of like what the reason is of all those reasons you mentioned.
Yeah, that's also very true. Yeah, it's not a, can't really come back from that one. Like, oh yeah, I really like you so much. Like, oh, thanks for letting me know, bud.
Well, I'm curious, like, when would you say for yourself was like the quickest you ever expressed your feelings for someone, just on a basic like, hey, I really like you, I, you know, want to keep seeing you type level?
I don't know, like maybe few weeks, couple months. I don't know. I'm a pretty like open book in regards to like if I like someone, they will know, because I will be talking to them, and you know, it's not like I'm overly standoffish. So I don't think that any time it's happened in the past, like they've been surprised, like, wow, I really didn't see that coming.
Real enigma, that guy over there.
That was strange. That's a total surprise. Yeah.
I feel like this is commonly the advice men often give women, is they're like, we're really bad at hiding it if we like you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to know. I'm going to consistently be talking to you, trying to see you, spend time with you. Mm-hmm. Like, so it shouldn't seem like a surprise just suddenly being like, hey, I like you, I'm into this.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, somebody actually asked, like, if you're interested, how do you let a woman know you're interested in her? It sounds like you just tell her.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly true. Like, once again, just in, and I think it goes both ways. Like, if someone likes you and they're into you, like, they will want to talk to you and hang out with you. It's pretty simple there, I think.
Okay.
It, yeah. it is pretty simple. But I think we get into our heads to overthink it, of like all of the different reasons why that might not be happening, when you're like, well, you know, it's pretty simple. Like, unless there's some sort of extenuating circumstances that they are also communicating about.
They want
to see you, like they're gonna make that happen.
Or I think a lot of women make an excuse when they think a guy is shy, which I have a stance of, I don't believe any man is technically shy. I feel like he'll make the move if he wants to make the move. I think shy guys might just take a little longer. So that being said, I'm curious, Drake, if you like someone, you want to like go out with somebody, how long from like when you meet them and feel that do you usually wait to make the move? Like, how quickly do you make the move?
I'm not really great at making the move. It's not somewhere I thrive.
What does that mean that you're not great at it?
Yeah. I think probably like momentum's a thing, right? I mean, I think, you know, in our generation, most of the time when you're like going out on first dates, it's through like, you know, Hinge or Bumble or anything like that, right? So like your intentions are already known there. Like, you know, you meet up, you're going out for a date typically. You know, in real life, I think it's maybe a little different, but you know, if I meet someone and get along with them, then, you know, would probably try and hang out with them, you know, next week or, you know, next couple weeks. Now, with that being said, in regards to making the move, it could also be misconstrued as friendship. And I'm always open for friendship too. Like, you know, relationships are good regardless if they're, you know, dating or just like a new friend, anything like that. Right. But, I think probably pretty quickly, I would want to go out and get drinks or whatever.
Would you like make that known? Like, let's say you're interested in a woman and you wanted to like ask her on a date. How do you make it known that you're asking them on a date and not just like looking for a new friend?
Oh, I don't know. If you find out, tell me.
Drake, you got to listen to this podcast. We give these tips all the time.
Has that happened that you've like asked somebody out on a date and they thought you wanted to be friends?
I mean, I don't think people are idiots. Like, I think that if you ask someone out like on a date, then like, or to get drinks, chances are they know that that's what you're looking for.
Like a one-on-one drink situation is not going to be the first time we hang out as friends.
Yeah, exactly. Like that just doesn't usually happen. So yeah, I think that it's like easily known just from context.
Yeah. Like if we don't have an established friendship and you ask me to get drinks one-on-one, it's a date.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I wouldn't ask like a new platonic friend like, hey, you want to go to happy hour? You want to grab some drinks like, you know, next Tuesday? Like that just doesn't really happen.
Just the two of us? Like just two of us. Yeah. A new friend?
Yeah, great sunset. Great for friendship.
So friendship sunsets, all the rage these days.
Exactly.
A couple people asked this and it's never happened to my knowledge, but maybe I will find something out that I didn't know. Dating your siblings' friends, yay or nay?
It's not something I've really thought about. Like, you know, we have an age difference.
Yes.
Like maybe if you were like my little, you know, your younger sister, I would be like, you know, protective, like, you know, my friends can't date you or whatever, right? I don't know if it on, you know, because I'm your baby brother that you would think that, but I feel like that doesn't usually happen. Like, you know, the brother is usually more protective of the sister, or the sister, it's maybe a little less protective in regards to dating. And that's just me thinking out loud. Obviously you are the sister in this case, so you can, you know, say yay or nay to that. You can actually get an accurate answer, but like, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it. Like it probably would be uncomfortable and also would, you know, raise the possibility of like major complications. Like, you know, if you dated one of my very good friends and then had a, you know, breakup, like I still plan to be your brother and have them as a friend.
What did you know?
Yeah, right. I can't, like, separate myself. Like, I guess I'd be forced to choose you in this, but like, what if it was like one of my like best friends from growing up? Like, that would be awkward for me.
Good to know that you would choose me forcibly. Great. Oh, damn. Winning. I mean, I think it's like similar to it's never really like I've never thought about it from you dating any of my friends. It's occurred to me before. I've like not any of your close friends, but I've like met people through you before where I'm like, oh, that guy's cute. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, whatever. And it's, I've thought about it. I'm like, that would be kind of weird. But at the same time, like, it's not one of your like close friends. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, date any of your best friends for that reason. But I think it would have to be that situation where like, if you meet somebody through a mutual friend, not even a sibling, unless the other person does something egregious. Mm-hmm. It's like, we went into this thing where you were their friend. I wouldn't expect you to not be their friend afterwards.
Yeah. But like, that's not how it always happens.
Well, totally. Again, unless they were like, if let's say I were to date one of your friends, all of your friends are lovely. This would not happen. Mm-hmm. But if I were to date one of your friends and they were to like totally fuck me over for some reason, then I might be like, this person's not nice. Like, don't be friends with this person because they did this really shitty thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's also like, you know, what kind of relationship you're looking for. Like, if you're like, hey, you know, I think your friend is cute, I want to like, you know, have a casual fling with them, I'd be like, well, that's probably not necessary. Or like, you know, hey, I think I really like this guy, you know, I could, you know, see myself having like a good relationship with him. Then like, you know, who would I be to be like, no, like that seems like it wouldn't be a good brother move. Like, to be like, no, you really like this guy, I knew him first, like, you know, stay away from him.
I would appreciate a warning if you like know how they are with women and you go, eh.
Yeah, and that's fair.
That would be different.
Yeah, that's like, that's also a good brother move, is being like, hey, you're free to do what you want, however, this friend specifically, it irks me if you dated him not because we're friends, but because I don't think like they would treat you correctly. It's like, that's a different conversation.
I think I'd have more issues with my friend dating my sister than I would my sister dating my friend.
Oh, interesting. Although I think if you did tell me that, if I was like, oh, I'm interested in your friend, and you said that, I would be like, why are you friends with this man? that would be my first question. If you were like, I don't think you should date him because he's kind of sucks, I'd be like, why is he in your life?
He could be a good friend in bad relationships.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like, maybe he's not like a bad dude, but he's just like not emotionally available, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Emotionally complicated. Yeah. The other thing, though, I think about us, like you and me specifically, is that we've never lived in the same city as adults.
Agreed.
So like the dating each other's siblings, like when I left home, you were 13.
And then it would have been weird if I dated one of your friends.
Really fucking weird. Yeah, that was a definite no.
I would have been frowned upon.
That would have been some serious game.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That'd be a no.
Yes.
But since then, like the only time we've like spent time together has been when one of us is visiting the other person's city.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly the most opportune time to start a relationship when you're like visiting your sibling in a different city.
Yeah, it's just never come up. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so like it hasn't really come up. Also, I've known all of your friends for the most part since they were literal children.
Yes, that is also correct.
Yeah.
Do men ever know what they're looking for when they're dating?
Yeah.
And like go into it being like, I really want to find someone like, quote, for a relationship right now, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of men like, you know, want to have a long-term relationship and like want to get married and have children. Like men also date intentionally. Like I'm not one of those men. I don't really know what I want. Like I'm open to everything, but I'm not, you know, focused on a specific thing. But yeah, I have a lot of friends that are like, yeah, I really want to find like a girlfriend. I really want to find like my future wife and, you know, have a family and all of that, you know, fun adult stuff.
So I appreciate that you are so open about saying that about yourself, because I think that like that's a totally valid place for anyone to be. But I think a lot of people are afraid to say that and then end up in situations where they're like leading somebody on, maybe unintentionally, because they haven't been so forthright.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of issues could be prevented by just being upfront and, like, you know, honest to all parties and yourself.
Amen. Subtitle of the podcast.
But when you say you're not dating intentionally, do you mean just you're like, I go on dates and if there's someone I feel a connection with and I would like to be in a relationship with, like, it happens, it happens? Like, is that what that means when you say you just don't date intentionally?
I think that, you know, like as a society, we sometimes do a disservice to ourselves by being hyper-focused on especially with dating, like, I want to find, you know, my future wife. Like, I want to get into a serious relationship, or, you know, the opposite end, like, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, have a fling. I'm not trying to look for anything serious. And I think when you do that, you end up, you know, essentially, you know, having success or failing, but only from that very narrowly defined goal. And I think that makes you lose out on, you know, what can be still meaningful relationships, right? Like, if you're looking for only for, you know, your future wife, then, you know, maybe you miss out on, you know, and it's a little different, I guess, with dating apps, but, like, you know, in real life, right? Like, you're at a bar and your intentions are to, you know, meet someone and have that turn into, like, you know, a serious relationship, then that's how you judge everyone, right? And you might miss out on, you know, other meaningful type of relationships, whether or not that's friendships, like, even flings can be meaningful, right? So I think that when, you know, you pigeonhole yourself into that, like, you know, stringent of a definition of what you're looking for, then I think you just do a bit of a disservice because you're missing out on other things. Now, in my case, I'm open to all things. Like, you know, I'm open to a serious relationship or, you know, friendship or flings or whatever it may be. Like, I'm not going out there and, like, hey, this is what I'm looking for now, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day. It's just like, I'm open to all of these things, but, you know, I'm also open to, you know, pretty much anything that is a good, meaningful, beneficial, you know, part of my life.
So basically, like, on a dating app, if you saw a profile that said, I'm looking for a relationship or I'm looking for something casual, either way, you're like, oh, I would go on a date with this person. Like, it doesn't persuade
you. Yeah, I mean, it's depending on the person, right? Like, you know, how can I know what I want with the person before I even know them?
True.
It's very true.
I think this just feeds into the theory, like, all men are in hoe phase until they just find someone they want to be with. Like, the term hoe phase men never use because they're like, I'm just living my life. And if there's someone I want to be with, I be with them. If there's mm-hmm. someone I want to hook up with, I hook up with them. Like, it's not, it's almost like they just don't have this pressure of, I don't know if settling is the correct word, but they don't have this pressure in their mind of like, I need to get into a relationship now and at this point in my life now. And sometimes that's just, you know, unfortunately a biological clock thing for some women. But
mm-hmm. I don't actually know the answer to this. What's your typical type?
I don't really have a typical type. I've been asked that recently. And
that's probably why I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't either. So
well, how about this? What are top three preferences? Like, think, like, who's your celebrity crush? Like, is there any three things that stick out to you of like, oh, I tend to really like women that have XYZ?
No, not really. I don't know if maybe it's just like, you know, our backgrounds, right? We come from like a very multiracial family, you know, being Mexican, black and white, like, you know, different race parents. I mean, at some point, you know, different political preferences as well. Like, I have friends from all walks of life. Like, I get along with a lot of different people. Like, you know, I can both be nerdy and also, you know, want to go out and have a good time. So, like, I get along with a bunch of different type of people. I'm also attracted to a bunch of different type of people. So it's hard for me to kind of narrow that down even to one, two, or three preferences, because I found that it's really just dependent on the person. And I'm attracted to a lot of different types of women, both, you know, on a looks basis, also like an intellectual basis, or, you know, a whatever they like to do. So yeah, no, I don't really have a type in summation.
That's probably why I didn't know the answer.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Do you ever think attraction can grow for men? Like, women often have this pressure of like, if we go on a date with a guy and he's a great guy, mm-hmm. everyone always tells you like, okay, you say you're not attracted to him physically, but that can grow. They're always like, that can grow, like, stay in it. Do you feel attraction can grow for men? But also, I'm curious, have you ever gotten the pressure to continue dating someone because they were like good on paper, but you weren't attracted to them?
Maybe like in pressure from myself, like, you know, I wish I was more attracted to this person because, you know, she checks all those other boxes, or, you know, I really, you know, like her as a person, we get along really well. But like, you know, obviously attraction's an important part of, you know, relationships typically, right? Outside pressure, no. And you know, attraction can definitely grow. Like, you know, I know people that started out as friends and like were actually being honest with themselves, like, hey, I have no interest in them, you know, as anything other than a friend. And then eventually that changed. So yeah, no, I mean, I don't think you could just like sit down and will yourself to, you know, grow attracted to someone. Like, I don't think it works in that way, but over a, you know, longer term time frame, yeah, definitely.
I think that's probably more conducive to like meeting people in person, right? Like, I think it's harder, like you were saying about on a dating app, when you go out with someone from a dating app, like intentions are clear from the jump. Like, mm-hmm. you are going on this date with a stranger to see if you want to date them in whatever way that might mean. And so there's like that pressure there of like, well, if there's no attraction, why are we here?
Yeah.
But if you meet someone in person and you're like, oh, you know, this could be a friend, this person could just be part of my friend group and they can just be kind of around, I could see how that would then grow. It'd be easier for it to grow in that sense.
Yeah, agreed.
What is the biggest red flag that you won't ignore?
Maybe like emotional volatility. Like,
what does that mean to you?
Like mood swing, like anger. I don't do well with anger.
Well aware.
It's just It's just like it's not really something I have. Like, I'm not an angry person, nor do I really react in that way towards people. But when someone reacts like that towards me, it's like it's not a great feeling, and I also don't really know what to do with it. It's like you're yelling and you're angry, and I'm not. So do I just leave? Do I just like get out of here? So, you know, emotional volatility, like, it, one, I don't do well with it, but also like it's not something I like could manage. I have in the past, and it's just like it's not great for me.
That makes sense. So somebody, it sounds like you're saying somebody who doesn't like manage their emotions well.
Yeah, like who lashes out. Like, you know, you can have, you know, obviously you don't have to always be like in a great good mood. Like you can have, you know, bouts of anger or whatever, right? But we know, like, you know, those type of people that or relationships that like that's a hallmark, like volatility and anger and stuff like that. And that I don't like. That I don't do well with.
Yeah. I mean, neither of us saw that like in our parents' relationship. Like they weren't yelling at each other. Like there wasn't like they had conflict, but like I think that has been something that's been very weird for me when people are like that in relationships, like with the oyster who you met. You didn't see this part of it, but like he was like that in relationships and that was like normal for him. Like he was like very used to emotional roller coaster type relationships. And I was like, this is not good.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
No. And you can imagine I am much quicker to anger than Drake is. It's the reason I know he doesn't like anger. And
I picked so up on that. I picked up on the little sibling vibe there.
If I was feeling that way, I'm like, well, that guy must have been like very quick to it. I definitely have a shorter fuse than Drake does.
Do you at all find it a turn off if a woman asks you out for a first date?
No. Not at all. Do some men? Is it like a masculinity thing?
I think so.
I think it's, or just there's a lot of like dating advice out there that is very anti women initiating on like many fronts. So like a first date is a big front to that, or even initiating a second date.
Or texting them after a first date, like being the first person to text after a first date is a thing that, to be very clear, we don't subscribe to this mentality. But yes, it is a thing.
But I ask that because I'm also curious, like, do you think men sometimes do need a little bit of a push or a little bit of that, hey, I would go out with you kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, you like to hope, like, as society evolves, like, these weird gender norms are going away, right? Like, a woman should be able to ask a man out and or text them after a date. I mean, these are all absolutely absurd things, which I know are accurate, right? But, like, yeah, men probably need pushes. And, like, you know, for me, I can only speak for myself. Like, I wouldn't find it a turnoff if, you know, a woman I liked and wanted to go out on a date with, like, hey, you want to go grab drinks or you want to get, you know, second drink? Like that would be a good thing for me. Like, hey, I like this person and she also clearly likes me and she's taking initiative. Like that's fun. That's great. It's strange that other guys would feel differently, but I guess it checks out, like, with just, like, men in general sometimes being the worst.
That's going to be the quote of the episode. That checks out with men in general sometimes being the worst. Drake Jackson. No, I think – so, like, basically what you're saying is, like, if you already like someone, you like them. Like, you want to go on another date with them regardless of if they ask you on that date or not. And if you didn't want to go on another date with them, then you already don't want to go on another date.
Exactly. It's not going to be the deciding factor. It's not going to be like – guys, not going to be like – or at least me. Like, oh, that date really went really well. I can't wait to ask her. Oh, shit. She texted me, asked me out. Like, this is ruined now. Like, how could she do that to me?
Yeah. It's not being clingy to just initiate seeing them again.
Like, yeah, exactly. You know, all these, like, dating hoops and games I just don't subscribe to, nor do I succeed at them. So, yeah.
Yeah, anytime I played a game, it never worked. So yeah. I was like, why?
I'm losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, playing a game, I'm definitely losing it, so.
Yeah, might as well just not play. Does it – oh, actually, I like this one. Do you ever go – so, oh, also, I should note that this hasn't come up on this episode somehow, but you don't actually call me Allie.
No, I do not.
My whole family calls me Alexandra. I don't know if you knew that, Erica.
Oh, right.
A couple people call you Alex.
I do not condone that. You're correct that a couple people do call me Alex. I have never approved that nickname.
That's fair, but they're persistent.
They are very persistent. So do you ever go to Allie, Alexandra, for dating advice? And if so, did you take it?
First off, I'm glad you said Alexandra afterwards, because if not, I would have no idea who you were talking about.
Thanks.
I think I have gone to for dating advice, like, maybe a couple times. If I don't remember if it was good or not. If it was good, I'm sure I probably, you know, took the advice.
You asked me, I remember something you asked me recently.
Okay.
You asked me recently, well, first of all, we had a discussion about how many drinks to have on a first date.
Yeah, the answer is two.
The answer is two.
Yeah.
You drink maximum.
Type, two drinks.
That's your type? Two drinks on a first date. That's your type.
Two drinks on a first date, yes.
Drake and I had a whole discussion about how, like, one drink is like that you're not having a good time. That's like, you know, let's get out of here. But then, like, if we're talking about, like, a weeknight, two drinks is, like, a good, like, I'm having a good time, but I'm also, like, an adult who has things to do tomorrow.
No, yeah. I feel like the second drink is just a pure signal of I would like to stay on the date, because I hate when I don't get another drink and the other guy does, and the guy does.
Yeah.
I'm like, I gotta stay here.
My issue was in that particular context was, like, we were at that date for, like, 2 hours. Like, I get the, you know, we got one drink, this didn't work out, let's get out of here, right?
Yeah.
But it was like, we're sitting here for 2 hours and there's no second drink coming, and I'm confused.
And you offered? You were like, do you want another drink?
Like, well, yeah, I think, once again, like, if I'm at dinner, like, yeah, weekday or whatever, like, you know, I'm a two drink guy. Like, if I'm having a good time, like, if I'm talking, like, you know, we're at a Mexican food place, the margaritas were fairly decent, like, I'm going to get that second drink, like, with a friend or a date, like, that mm-hmm. makes sense to me. Unless I have to go home early, or unless, like, you know, I don't want to be there, then, you know, one drink, that's totally fine, right? But it just confused me. I just sat there confused the next hour and 15 minutes.
It'd be different if she had said something like, I'm having a really good time, but, like, I have to be up early, so I don't want to have another drink, but, like, exactly. Let's keep sitting here. But there was just, like, no discussion.
Yeah, no, it's just like, you know, another hour and 15 minutes of small talk. All right.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's on. You got to communicate. Because I would be like, oh, I'm okay. I'm just not drinking a lot right now. But you get another one. I would, like, signal something. But that's also, like, the pressure of, like, you're taking up the time and space in a restaurant, and I would just feel bad, like, not ordering anything. Yeah, or I'd be like, I guess I'll get a seltzer. Like,
we weren't ordering anything else either. And it was like, the place was closing. We got to go.
Gotta leave.
Okay.
No, but the actual advice that you asked me, I think it was in that same conversation, was about, might have been that same woman, I don't remember now, but there was going to be, like, a gap where, like, she was traveling or not going to be here, and it was like, you know, if we don't have, like, if we don't have our second date fairly quickly after the first, then we're not going to see each other for, like, 3 weeks, so, like, what do you think?
Yeah. And by that time, you're an entirely different person.
3 weeks later, I don't even know who you are.
Exactly. Future me. Could be anyone.
Future me could be abyss.
Future me could be anyone.
Future Drake is absolutely unreliable.
So wait, would you say you took Allie's advice?
Yeah, I believe so. It was good advice. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Got another client on our hands.
Just a freeloader is what it is.
My friends ask all the time if you'll give them dating advice.
I've said I would.
Yeah.
They have to reach out. They got to reach out.
Yeah. I've helped so many men with their dating profiles. It's not even funny. Ooh. I've been like, just give me your phone.
We're
like,
occasionally useless. So that's what I'm
doing. Weaponized incompetence.
There it is.
That's always what it is. Someone did ask me, this is a small question, of what is it like to be Allie's brother?
Well, been doing it all my life. So... I'm pretty used to it now.
took a while to ramp up.
It took a while.
But I think they mean like especially with her being like a dating coach now.
Good, I guess. I don't really it doesn't like come into my world that often.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
I have to take a lot more pictures and videos when we're on vacation. That's honestly a bummer. I don't love that part of it at all. Outside of that, like, you know, she enjoys doing this. Like, I think it's good for her life, and so I'm happy for her, but it doesn't like impact me. Like, a couple people have like been like, oh, are you really finding Mr. Height's brother? And I'm like, yes, like we have the same face. Like, why would I lie about that? This would be weird, you know, game here. Like, yes, of course I'm her sibling. So other than that, like, don't ever think about it, I guess.
So basically, yeah, you're being trained to be an Instagram boyfriend for your future.
Well, I will say you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm good at pictures.
You're great.
And I allot you 1 to 2 a day, which I think is totally fair.
Like, yeah. He does have an allotment. I'm respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
We found a nice middle ground.
Yeah, yeah, we found, which I don't think you would get annoyed by the when we stay within your allotment, because that's your allotment.
Yeah, it's just the second or third request, then I will stare awkwardly and potentially walk away.
You're over your allotment, but like, yeah, mom is just so bad at it.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on that. My mom is also terrible.
She's improving.
She is improving. That's true.
I have a little advice question I think might be fun to wrap with, unless you have anything else, Allie.
No, you go. Let's hit it.
Okay. So here's a little scenario. And I've gotten a bunch of DMs from women in a similar scenario. So I think this is very valid. Okay, let's say you are dating a woman and she says, I love you, and you're not ready to say it. What's the best way for her to handle that scenario?
Oh, God. That just made me panic.
We've sent Drake over the edge with this imaginary woman.
Yeah. Like, I'm sweating.
Like, after that, like, what's he say? Does he say, like, you know, thank you? Does he say, like, I'm not ready? Like, what?
Like, it's basically from the perspective of someone who says, I love you first, right? Okay. It's like, you say, I love you first. They don't say it, or they say, I'm not there yet. I've had women ask me, like, should I bring it up and have a conversation about it? And I'm like, I've never been in that scenario, but I feel like no. I feel like they know, and if you just keep bringing it up, it makes it kind of worse.
Yeah,
but that's my opinion. I'm not a man, so what's the male opinion?
Once again, like, you know, going back to previous questions, like, it's dependent on what that guy's thinking, right? Like, if he loves her, just not ready to say that, or like, even if he really likes her, but it's not quite there yet, then, like, you know, that's one conversation, right? Like, that's like, okay, you know, he'll get there at some point. Probably don't want to press him on it. You know, it's like, there's only really one acceptable response in like that I love you situation. It's like, I love you too, unless you don't, or you're not ready for that, right? So if that didn't happen, then, you know, there's obviously a reason why. I don't know what to do after that. It probably wouldn't be the best of a situation. You can kind of continue and just, like, you know, hope that at some point he'll get there, or you move on. I guess that's probably the two options, right?
I mean, I'm wondering, like, if that happened to you, would you kind of almost sit there being like, well, now I feel there's kind of a clock on this of if I don't feel that way soon enough, then maybe like I should end the relationship? Because that's how I would feel if someone said it to me. And it's like
I'm not where they're at.
Yeah, because I might be sitting there being like, why don't I feel that way about them yet? And like, how much time realistically would I give myself to be like, do I really see myself getting deeper? Or is this essentially just like, oh, this isn't going to work out long term and we should end it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty open like with my emotions. Like if someone said, if you know, a woman said like, I love you to me and I didn't love them at that point, like I would let them know, like maybe, you know, I wasn't ready. Maybe, you know, I can see myself at some point, you know, loving them, right? Like I wouldn't just, you know, I wouldn't leave it as like a confusing picture. I'd say like that would be very difficult. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily feel more pressure because, you know, as long, in my opinion, like as long as you're being open and honest, like in a relationship, like you're doing really what you need to do, right? It's not like your fault if someone loves you and you don't love them quite yet, right? It would be your fault if they said that and you said it and you didn't mean it, or you just kind of kept stringing them along. But like, if you're honest about where you're at and, you know, in the context of like, you know, your feelings towards them, like that, I feel like that's all you can really do. Right. I'm sure it probably doesn't usually play out that way, but, in my situation, like I said, if a woman said that to me and I wasn't there, like I would let them know why. And I guess like let them choose the best path moving forward. Cause like, obviously they're the emotionally vulnerable person in that situation.
So essentially you don't think it would be bad, say 2 months later, they still haven't said it and you kind of have a check-in of like, hey, you know, not sure how you're feeling about this.
2 months would be a long time, right?
You like, do? Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. After the original check-in, because I think that's how most people feel, is they have that initial convo and then they go, so should I ever bring this up again? Or
where are we at?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably fair. But, you know, I think that at that point, I don't know where the responsibility lies, right? Like, you know, if the guy's like, you know, being good and they're continuing to grow the relationship, like, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily like, you know, on him to be like, hey, you know, just let you know, a month and a half ago, you said, you know, he'll say it when he's ready, obviously. So I think in that case, like the woman in this scenario who said, I love you, like she's probably the one that's like, all right, well, if he doesn't love me, then at some point there's like an end point that I need to walk away and find someone else that, you know, has, you know, these similar feelings. So yeah, the 2 months, it could be a checkpoint, but like there also could be finality in it, right? Because like if it's like, hey, yeah, you know, I still don't feel that way about you, then what do they do? Like, all right, well, cool, I'll check in another 2 months, we'll see how that goes. Or, you know, do they kind of walk away?
Yeah, it feels like it doesn't feel like something that you need to bring up again. Like if you need to bring it up again, they probably still don't feel that way. Like, because once you've said, I love you to someone, unless, you know, assuming that they're like an emotionally open person, which like if they're not, then maybe that's something to consider, but they will say it when they feel ready to say it. They're not going to be like hiding it. Mm-hmm. And then you ask them and they're like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot to let you know. I do love you now.
For the last 2 months. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you circled back.
Yeah. Because the comfortability is there. Yeah. They're not going to get rejected. You said it first. So it's like, yeah, there's no wall. It's just interesting. If I have a friend going through this right now and they're at a year and they've had that conversation and he just said he's just not like a quick person to say that. But however, at the same time, he's like, oh, this summer we should like go on this vacation. Let's do that together. So she's sitting there being like, I know he like is in this and she's like, I feel he loves me, but I just haven't gotten the word confirmation. But she was like, okay, you want me to plan something like, you know, 10 months out. So it's like, okay, you don't think you're going anywhere. Like, and me saying, I love you didn't scare you, but like, she's sitting there being like, I want to hear it though. Like, I want to hear it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, but like, you know, what's more important, like, you know, a word or like actions, like, clearly, if he wants to go on a trip, like, you know, planning out ahead, like he sees her as someone that he wants, like, in his life, right? So he's probably, like, you know, saying whatever, I love you, or in the context, like, I have feelings for you in a different way, right? Seems like he probably should get more comfortable with just saying like simple words, and she probably should be fine with being like, all right, well, like, yeah, he may not say it because clearly something's going on there, but like at the same time, like he wants me to be part of life. Like that'd be fine, I feel like not ideal, but not yeah. the worst thing either.
Yeah, like right. if he's doing all of the other things that are mm-hmm. showing her that he feels that way and invested in their relationship. But yeah, like work on your words, buddy.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. Like when she told me, I was like, I don't know if I'd make it to the vacation of still not hearing and I love you. Like
be a really long time,
especially even at a year. That long. Right. It's tough. It's very tough because I don't want to say to her like, well, clearly he doesn't, sis, and you got to fucking leave. Like. You know, because I don't think this is a bad man at all. And he is showing her and they're having like a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of similar to me of like if someone asked me about like moving in with them and I'm sitting there being like, you haven't even said like I love you to me. Like it would be a weird.
Yeah, that,
you know, not that we have to do things in order, but that's something that I'd be like, OK, that's bit of a big step for me to still be like, do you love me? By the way,
yeah,
like,
just one time.
Yeah. Just like to hear it once.
Yeah. Well, Drake, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you putting yourself out there to the podcast world.
Me? I had fun.
Good. Yeah, thank
you. Good.
Yeah, I like talking.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. And Drake, I love you.
I love you both.
You're not going to make us wait a year? We could circle back in December 2023.
You're right. All right, yeah. Let's
say it back, Drake.
Yeah, let's have another checkup in 2025.
We'll see you then.
Yeah, I'll see you then.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And again, if you want to suggest anything for any future episodes, check out our podcast website and the link will be in the comments. And thank you again, Drake, for coming on.
Bye, everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.